Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I'm really good.
That is very good. We've got slightly trepidation in the office this morning about the genre that you've brought us today. I think it's bringing up memories for people and some that maybe should be best forgotten. What is the genre we're talking about?
We're talking about nu metal. That's NU metal, or NU with the umlaut over the top.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. There's a lot of disparaging comments about it online. One article in the NME called it the skid mark that appeared in the late 90s.
Oh, that's so yuck.
Oh, dear.
Or music's most hated genre. Music's most hated genre. Yeah, there's a lot of anti-nu metal.
I didn't realize it was so widely hated. Like, I thought there was quite a large following for this genre.
Well, growing up in Christchurch, I can confirm there was a large following for this genre. Lots of my babysitters were big fans. But, yeah, I'm not sure that I would count myself as a fan, maybe. But, you know, I could have my mind changed this morning, Kirsten. who
well,
knows?
Yes, and I think you will. Actually, I'm going to change your mind.
Okay.
But I think you're still allowed to sort of have, you know, sort of funny feelings about it as well.
I'm gonna hit this first track that we've got here. There's a little bit of swearing in this. Just a heads up at home. What are we listening to?
So this is Korn, K-O-R-N, and with the R backwards, Freak on a Leash from 1998.
This is quite the iconic
track.
So far
it sounds kind of normal, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Every time I start to believe something's raped and taken
from me. Life's gotta always be. It's quite... It has got a very 90s flavour to it, that's undoubtable.
Where was the mind-changing part, Kirsten?
Well, so this Korn was sort of really started the genre off 1994, their album. And it was sort of an underground thing, right? This mixing rap with metal.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing is it became mainstream and really just took out that later half of the 90s.
I don't think people saw that coming necessarily, did they?
I didn't see it coming.
No, they didn't, and certainly the record companies didn't. But there had been precedent. Like, apparently Anthrax sort of first did rap metal in 1987.
Oh, yeah?
And there had been sort of, like, you know, Cypress Hill and, you know, Rage Against the Machine, Faith No More, Tool, you know what I mean? There had been sort of a leaning into that.
So does Cypress Hill fall into this category?
Well, all these bands love them, and they've...
Okay.
Here's the weird thing, is it started getting these festivals, like Lollapalooza and stuff, where you would mix them up. And so they did sort of start performing with, like, Ice Cube and Redman.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
The only Korn fact I know is that the R in Korn is backwards because a lot of them worked at Toys R Us, and that's where the backwards R came from. Yeah, that's my only Korn fact.
Is that how they knew each other, through working at Toys R Us?
I'm not sure if that's how they knew each other, but they did all sort of realise they'd worked there. And so that was kind of where the little backwards R came from. A little homage to that.
And a lot of the bands...
It's a lot. It is a lot. You should see Tess's face. I wish you could see Tess's
face. I don't want to disrespect the genre.
No, that's fine.
Because... just because it's not my cup of tea.
Different strokes for different folks.
Different, yeah.
You know? I want to know what the BFM listeners think. Text us. What are your thoughts on nu metal?
5395.
That's the number.
So a lot of these bands came from Southern California. And to me, well, I guess like the Chili Peppers and stuff before them, it's very Southern California. And that these are white kids that grew up with both rap and metal. You know, you had, you know, they grew up loving both. And, you know, so it was sort of natural, you know, because it's such a, LA is such a big place you know, hip hop, especially in the 90s. And so you couldn't, you know, deny, like, not loving both, you know, and so it sort of emerged. To me, yeah, it really kind of represents, you know, how these young people, you know, were growing up.
Yeah, and I think you have to give it absolute props for being such an interesting genre. Like, this sound wasn't really anywhere before this. As you're saying, like, they had some major touchstones, but they really took it and made something new.
And, wow, now the fashion is bad. So you have what? Flavor Savers, or a shaven face bar the butt of a hamster perched on the end of your chin.
Oh, wow.
Or basically something foul going on in the facial hair department.
Oh, I just got a shiver.
Just thinking about bad facial hair.
Chin beards, spiky hair, facial piercings.
I can just, like, visualize it so clearly in my mind.
I just want to let you know, Kirsten, someone's texted in, they said truly awful. Another person texted in saying new metal equals shite. So it's not looking good here.
New metal fans, you need to, you know, stick up for your own here.
So who's this, Rich?
This is Power Man 5000, When Worlds Collide.
Now, they're not from Southern California, but the front man, Spider One, who does the, well, he calls it spoken word, he's Rob Zombie's younger brother.
Beg your pardon? He's Rob Zombie's younger brother.
Yeah.
That's, I did not know that. We've had someone say this is Chad Bradcore.
Someone's texted in solidarity with me. They say, I'm with Tess. I had to live through that with my teenage son.
And so the lyrics were really whining, desperate, pain, angsty. One article said it sounds like a dog caught in a trap. But, you know, they were about teenage alienation and pain and angst and bullying, betrayal, as well as drugs, party, and women. I mean, you know, who doesn't love all those things? You know, like, that's just this really young man, young white man. Sorry, okay. I'm being really racist here. But, you know.
We've got some fans texting in now. I still love this. Didn't even know it was called new metal. And someone else has said Deftones are the greatest new metal.
Someone's asked if there's influence from Faith No More.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even though Faith No More tried to, you know, distance themselves. But yeah, definitely. Know who else fits in this? It's Kid Rock.
Really? Would you put... Okay, that kind of makes sense.
I put a question mark, but a lot of people said,
Kid Rock sits in there. Someone else has said, Korn is the only band whose lead singer needs a bodyguard to protect himself from the rest of the band. I don't know if that's true or not, but...
And, I don't know, some people remember Crazy Town. Come, my lady.
Oh,
yeah? Is that in this genre?
Yeah.
What? But that's so, like...
Different.
Love song gone wrong.
Is that not what this is?
No, well, I don't know, is it? Kirsten, help.
Well, see, that's the thing, is they really didn't mind becoming commercially popular. They loved it, and they leaned into it, and, you know, they all, like, just rode this wave.
Someone says, love new metal as a young teenager, and I'm fully loving this throwback. No shame. Luckily, I'm female, so I've got the facial hair and fashion. I'm glad to hear that. So this is, for me, this is my, like, new metal exposure. You could not get away from Linkin Park and Christchurch in the early 2000s.
Someone texted in saying new metal definitely had a time and a place. A lot of great influences went into and came out of it, although I doubt any artist would admit it these days. I feel like that's quite a nice
I agree, I agree. I absolutely agree, especially the influences coming in of it, into it, and then out of it. Now, what's so funny about this band is I didn't know. So they came from this little suburb in LA called Agoura, which was my school's rival suburb. From my school, the band Incubus came out, and this band came out from Agoura. So I just know exactly these sort of wealthier suburbs. And these kids that grew up with rap and metal, you know?
Yep.
And then, of course, now with the passing of Chester Bennington, the lead singer, you know, like, I think, you know, it's hard to really hate them, you know, thinking about his struggle and his really successful career. And he's a great vocalist.
I actually really like Linkin Park. I have to admit, I do really like Linkin Park. And I also think that they're kind of interesting because they got sampled a lot by contemporary rappers as well. Jay-Z had that huge track that had a Linkin Park sample in it. Like, they kind of fed back into really that, maybe.
They got rappers on side, you know? Rappers would never call it appropriation, you know? Like, they could tell the sort of earnest embracing and mixing. And a lot of the rapping was Mike Shinoda. And apparently Bennington really encouraged him to rap, even when they got, you know, pushback from the record label. And even as late as 2014, Kerrang! Magazine had them as the biggest rock band in the world right now.
Far out.
They've sold over 100 million records.
That's really? Huge. That's wow. Huge.
I don't think I'd go as far as saying I like Linkin Park, but I can respect their music, and maybe if you were to give me, I had to listen to new metal for a whole day, what bands would I pick?
You'd probably pick Linkin Park.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
But it would be not necessarily enjoyable.
This is a classic polarizing genre in the text coming in, being back to back things like, I grew up with Korn, nothing wrong with it, great at the time, and then someone else says, whiny white guys angsting over their privilege. So, I mean, different
it
strokes.
It is. It's very polarizing. What about Slipknot?
One article said,
Kirsten.
Yeah, one article said, try listening to Slipknot now without vomiting. Oh, and these are like from
so
respected,
mean.
You know, these are like blogs. These are like from NME and Billboard and Guardian and
it's,
stuff.
Maybe it's one of those genres that people love to hate, but they will still listen to it, you know, when they get really wasted and pick a song or something. I don't know, you know, to throw back
to
their
teenage
years.
Man, some bangers, you know?
Yeah,
some real bangers. Limp Bizkit, I mean, you know, hate them. But like some of the texts have been saying, we all knew that guy. Mm. You know, we all knew the kind of guy that the band members were. And I guess this is their voice, you know, singing their angst, you know, rather than taking it out on other human beings.
We're getting a lot of texts from people saying this is throwing them back to their, like, 15-year-old teen angst, which I can very much appreciate. So that was new metal, Kirsten. Thank you for bringing us that this morning. I actually genuinely really enjoyed that, even though it's not maybe my cup of tea genre, but it's good to listen to, you know, every now and then.
But
Tess looks
an awesome text.
So good.
We're awesome.
Hey, what are you going to be bringing us next week?
Oh, it's going to be so lovely. You're going to love it. 1960s American folk music.
Oh, nice. That sounds great. Oh, well, we'll talk to you then, Kirsten. Have a lovely...
Oh, it's going
to
be so nice.
Lovely weekend.
Hopefully no one will hate it. No one will hate that one.
No one will hate folk music, surely. See you then, Kirsten.
All right, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It certainly was.